Estevez City Council and in City Hall tonight. We've got Chief Sol Martinez and Clerk Liesl Barker, Justin Martinez. I'm going counterclockwise. Marchbanks, Sol Martinez. Thank you. Point of order. That would make it easier. And Mike Taylor, Shelly Owens, Rachel Patrick, Kyle Bishop, thank you. And we've got the administrator, Kathy Lear, and then Ben the Taylor, her goodness, I have to take a breath here. And Ben the treasurer is in the back room. He'll come out and talk to. So what we're going to do is what we usually do is to take a look at next week's agenda and tell you where there's some changes, and we'll pick that up. I guess we're going to start tonight with Justin Marchbanks on discussing road maintenance, including with regard to shoulder recovery disc and gravel reclamation item that they have an interest in procuring that we've been talking with them about. Justin, could you come up here and we'll turn on the microphone for you? Yes.
Thanks for having me. Being the road contractor for a number of years, we see a lot of things, notice a lot of things, and it's occurred to us over the years that we've there might be a better way to do some of the things we're doing, and so we've found some equipment that we think would be helpful for us, and there's been discussions with the administrator and Councilman Taylor about it, and I thought it would be a good idea to run it by the council and see what you guys think, and so I don't know if anyone's seen the literature. I didn't bring it, but these things have been around for a number of years, and
Yeah, on the screen.
Exactly. And so we have several areas where we can use this. We can recover material from the shoulders. Places, as an example, on Rink Creek Road, we have a fairly decent ditch system out there. But conditions are such over the years, being grading as frequently as we have to, snow plowing, all the things that happen. Coupled with the fact that we've only recently kind of started getting the brush out of our way out there, we've discovered that we have quite a bit of road shoulder out there that we could recover. And what that would do is that would eliminate a berm near the road, and it would also bring some fine material back up on the road that we could work back into the road surface, and we would end up with hopefully a better product in the end. Plus, we would be able to recover considerable amount of the material that we've lost over the years from plowing, from the continual grading. Every time you grade, you know, a little spills around the blade, and so then it gets grassy, and then it's, you know, very difficult to deal with. And so with this rig, we can chop it up, bring it back into the road, blade it around, and then the grassy vegetation type stuff will kind of find its way to the surface, and the cars will kind of blast it off the road and it'll be gone. This is very common in places where they do a lot of gravel roads. It's just something that I guess we've kind of overlooked over the years, and so we would like to give one a try, and we would like, you know, maybe, you know, the council to discuss it and, you know, see if how you want to approach doing it. We don't have a problem with buying the equipment. It's probably, oh, I don't know, by the time you get it here, probably in the $15,000 range by the time we get it here. And so, well, we don't know much about it now, other than just what the manufacturer tells us and other people that use them. And so we don't really know how long it's going to take, you know, to do a stretch of road with it, because, you know, conditions are different and things of that nature. And so we would like to try one on, you know, but I guess an hourly basis. But what we would like to have is a, you know, a commitment from the city to, you know, to let us know if that's something that, you know, they would like to spend maybe not extra money on, but maybe that would be, you know, maybe take the place of a blading here and there, or take the place of some material hauled here and there, things of that nature. Maybe it wouldn't have to be, you know, an addition monetarily. It would just maybe shift around things a bit within the contract itself. And so we wanted to throw that out there for discussion and see what everyone thought.
We have up on the screen, I don't know if this shows up for the folks on Zoom, but there are some photos of the apparatus. And Kathy, did you want to go ahead and...
So I asked Justin to come talk to us about it tonight, because it just seems to me, I mean, I hear complaints often about these roads have gotten wider, but they haven't gotten better, and these roads should be crowned, and there's a lot of stuff sloughing off in the ditches, and we do have issues with some of our ditches. And it just seems to me, Justin, I think, quoted at how many yards per mile on Rink Creek Road we could salvage material valued at, you know, probably the same amount that we pay them to haul it in there. And in this case, they'd be able to be bringing it back up onto the road and be able to grade it right afterwards, if I'm not mistaken. So that would save time. That would save hauling over the road and then having to re-repair the road from the trucks hauling all the gravel. And it would also prolong the life of the gravel pit that we're looking at right now, you know, getting a few more years out of it before the equipment maybe can't, you know, reach to get too much more material up without, you know, spreading out our footprint or doing something different. So I wanted to see... have a conversation, see what that would look like, see what kind of commitment we would have to make so they get somewhat of the return on their investment back. And so that's why it's up for discussion. And so maybe we need to look at some harder numbers, but I feel like we could do an overall project to get some of the roads, bigger roads, up to snuff, like do a special project just for that. And then next time the road contract gets bid, we would include those types of services as well into the road contract. So that's what I'm looking for.
Would the yardage of material, what would that look like that you could recover from the sides of the road?
Well, without a... you know, a super accurate reconnoiter of the whole thing, it would be hard to be extremely precise. I think whenever I had sent the email to Mike and Kathy, I had taken a look out at Rank Creek Road, and on sections of the road, it's going to be more in some and less in others, but From a money standpoint, if we're talking about the cost of what we haul now in that particular area, I'm seeing a recovery of about $4,000 per mile in that area. Now, that could be much less in other areas. It could be probably a little more in others, probably never much more than that. And so it's a good amount of material that we can bring back onto the roadways. And so I don't remember the yardage exactly. We can sit here and figure it out, but that's kind of a dollar assignment that I've loosely come up with. And you know, with a good, you know, if a person wanted to really get precise with measuring and identifying areas, you could probably calculate it much closer than that. And I wouldn't expect that amount of money on every, you know, all 22 miles of road that we do. It's just Rink Creek is one example. Another example that has a really good ditch system is down at DeBeerville. There's a great ditch system there, but we've not been able to utilize it because of, you know, the circumstances. And so and it's not going to be perfect. We're going to have to dodge utilities. You know, there's things that crop up that are in the way. But I think it would be a good thing, and I think we'd end up with a better roadway and some gravel savings.
I have a question.
Mayor Taylor, or Councilmember Taylor.
I think this has a lot of promise. And we have a lot of our roads that have old berms. Some of them date from before we were a city, when they were, you know, sort of somewhat haphazardly graded when somebody was willing to pay for it. And we ended up with a lot of vegetated berms on the side that have trapped water on the roads and made it hard to get the right cross section to our road embankment, you know, which should have about a 10% slope from grade or something like that, and then a little steeper slope into a ditch and then back slopes. And instead we've got this berm along the edge that captures, that keeps the water from running off the roads. So I think the recovery of gravel is a great benefit, but perhaps the biggest benefit is just getting our roads so we have the right shape, cross-sectional shape to them. And it's the kind of thing that it's not just a one-time project, because normal grading and plowing does tend to end up with spillage off the tip of the blade. And we always end up with, and plowed snow melts there with gravel in it and builds up more gravel on the edge. So this is something that we could use every year as those conditions develop. Now, we just did a major project this summer on Glenn's Ditch that had a big berm like that along one side that had been a real problem. And we spent a lot of time on that because we did it with a bobcat and so forth. My guess is that this would have sped that project up. Do you think so? And is that the kind of project that this would be useful for?
Yeah, I think so. That particular one, you know, there was a lot of unsuitable material there, which we could have recovered some of, I suspect. But many of the places, the material is completely suitable. I mean, it's the pit run gravel that we use. And if we can go out there and get it and like Mike said, try to improve the drainage, it's not going to make everything perfect. I mean, we still don't have drainage in a lot of areas. We don't have enough embankment in a lot of areas. I mean, it's just a work in progress. But, you know, when we started this in, I believe, 2004, was it when the city road maintenance started, you could put seven loaded dump trucks from the gravel pit to Four Corners before the road was destroyed. Seven trucks. Today, as CECON proved when they were hauling, you know, all that material for the airport, it's basically, you know, it can get rough, but it doesn't become impassable. And so we've made huge strides. It's still not perfect by any means, and we still, you know, continue to do what we can. But we think this is just another tool that would be very helpful.
And let me ask another question. It seems like we've got a couple of ways we can go here. We could design one big project where we identified all the roads that and road sections that needed to be treated like this. And there's some roads that it probably isn't going to work on. Mm-hmm. So we could do it that way, or we could do it on a sort of ad hoc or a site basis without making it a large project. That might be the easiest way to do it rather than planning one large project. But I guess we'd have to propose enough or make sure we had enough work to make it worth having the piece of equipment. Is that something that you could make a proposal to us on that's more specific?
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, we could, it wouldn't be difficult to come up with an hourly price.
Yeah.
And some sort of recovery where you recover the cost of the unit within 5 years or something like that. You know, you don't expect to pay for it the first day. And so, something like that could be easily done. Of course, how the council would like to approach it is up to the council, but my suggestion would be probably to do your second, what you had mentioned, second, and just kind of let's try it, you know, sort of thing. And rather than go crazy with a big job that, you know, it'll be, for us anyway, difficult to price right now. If we had a little bit more experience with it, we'd be able to price it correctly. If we had to price it now, it would probably be more than, you know, necessary. So that I think that's a good way to go.
I find this particularly appealing in terms of reducing the berms. We do, those are the most of the complaints I've heard were about, you know, sort of crowning and berms. And will it, in the long run, kind of build up the roadbed? Will there be, will that some of the material remain up there?
Yeah, I mean, with the gravel road, you're continually chasing the material, especially with the material we have that has, you know, if you look under look at our material under a microscope, it's marble. None of it stacks together with square sides. And so that's why it pushes out. We're always pushing it out because it doesn't lock together. There's no angle to any of the material. And so even where they have good material, they still have to run this thing every 2 to 3 years. They have to go out and they have to get the berm. It won't be as much, but they have to go out and get it and bring it back. And it's much more cost effective than trying to build the entire road surface up to match that berm to get everything to shed. It's more effective to bring the berm back into the road. And so, yes, in terms of seeing an elevation change with your naked eye, probably not. You probably won't see a huge difference. But I think what we will see in many areas where we do have adequate drainage is we will see the water going into the ditches instead of a secondary ditch situation like we have in a lot of places now.
Thank you very much. Kathy, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Well, I just wanted to add, I pulled up the email that you had sent us, and you mentioned that if we average a 2 foot wide shoulder that is 4 inches tall above the road prism, we would potentially recover 260 yards, cubic yards per mile, some more, some less, like you just mentioned. At the current cost, that's roughly $4,200 per mile in recovered gravel. So, if it makes the road better and we're not having to haul stuff, I think it's a pretty good deal. That's just what I'm looking at. So
Does anyone else have any questions or comments? And I would note that Jim Muskowiak has joined us as well on Zoom.
I just had an idea of how we might handle this to so they can feel that there is enough work coming up to make it worthwhile. We could do a supplemental appropriation to the road management budget for $10,000 or $15,000 or something like that. That is intended specifically for this work. And I think there's enough work, enough roads that need this, that we could easily use that. And then if we had that appropriated, and you know, it's a subset or an add-on to our existing road maintenance thing, that, and as we did it, we would pay bills for that out of that amount, and with the expectation that we would spend it on doing that work. So that might be one way to demonstrate the city's support for it and give the contractor confidence that that they're going to get return.
One of the other possible benefits that Mike and I have discussed, and we don't know for sure, but I think in places where it would work, there's a possibility of some benefit with snow berms as well, getting them to go away quicker, things of that nature. So we don't know for sure, but it's a potential, and so it might make the snow plowing situation that we have now, in probably wouldn't be able to get it this year, this snow season, because there's about a 6-month delay on production on this machine. And so our best case would be to have it in the spring, but moving forward, it's possible that it might be useful in the winter also.
And particularly breakup time, when the berms are melting and the water being trapped on the road by the frozen berm. If this thing had chewed up, allow us to grade that berm off, then the roads would dry out faster and there'd be less damage.
Well, thank you, Justin, for coming in and for demonstrating this. Okay, so I think what we'll do is, unless somebody tells me otherwise, is work our way through the work session agenda. It looks like the next item is, we could proceed with some of the other kind of clerical matters, or go ahead and go through the agenda. Do you have a preference? Okay. I think I'd like to go through the other stuff. Is that okay with everybody? Just go through the other items, and then we'll go back to going through the reviewing. Okay, so that would be the first item, then would be the December office hours and meeting schedule due to the AML annual conference. And Liesl, could I ask you to speak on this?
Yes, so for those of you who do not know, the first week of December, many of your City Hall staff members, as well as some of our council members, will be going to Anchorage for the Alaska Municipal League conference that happens every year. So our office hours are going to be looking a little bit different that week. We will be open on Monday, December 4th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that is it that the town hall will be open. We will have email access, as well as we'll provide a number with a posting for if somebody were to need to get a hold of us for emergency purposes. But we're going to have a little bit different hours for that week due to us all being away in Anchorage, learning how to serve our town better.
Okay, and we'll all, I think 5 of us will be participating in the work session from Anchorage by Zoom.
Yes, so Karen still has her supplemental contract through the end of December. So she said she's willing to get the Zoom and everything set up here for our council members who will be still in town, and then the rest of us will attend that work session from Zoom in Anchorage.
All righty. And how about the January meeting dates due to the holiday?
Yeah, so Shelley and I spoke about this earlier, as well as I believe Kathy was in on it. That first work session happens to hit on January 1st, New Year's Day. So I believe we would like to propose pushing that work session to Tuesday the 2nd. That would still give us till, you know, midday the next day for me to get any possible changes in for that general work session and still have those 5 days notice for it to be posted. But that is something that I guess we just need to finalize or I guess talk about, make sure that everybody's on board with that, and then we can go from there at the general meeting.
Okay. Now, I guess the only other alternative really is to, and we would have to do this by council vote, is to change the general meeting date to a week and advance it a week, and then the general session or the work session. But I'm happy with the January 2nd. What does everybody else think? And Kathy, go ahead.
Well, we wouldn't be changing the regular general meeting on a Monday. We would only be changing the work session, and you don't need a council vote for that.
Yeah, no, that's what I was explaining. Oh, okay. Is that if we had another alternative would be to move both meetings,
right?
But that doesn't seem advantageous, because then that would put us in a crunch for the February meeting. So
yeah,
okay, we have good. Okay. And then on the agenda we had established the endowment grant fund work group, but there were no applications for the endowment fund this year, so that funding will be carried forward to next year. And then the last item on the work session was to discuss the process for overall clerical technical corrections of city code of ordinance and alignment of policy and procedures. Did anybody want to mention this or discuss this?
We can both do it. How about that? How about I'll just do some basic stuff. So since I've been here in June of 2022, and things come up, and I'm reading through policies and procedures, and I'm reading through ordinances, there is a lot of language. It's not the situations or changing the policy behaviors per se. It's just the way things are worded from way back when there was a clerk treasurer and not both a clerk and a treasurer, or when only the mayor was there and there was no city administrator. And a lot of the policies and procedures and the language doesn't align with each other because of positions named and mentioned in those things. So a lot of it, what we're looking to do isn't to change behavioral things in policy and procedures, but to just clean up the language, do a cleanup of how it really looks right now and how it should look. That's what we're trying to do. And if you have something to add, that'd be great.
I think Kathy kind of said it pretty well. It's just the more eyes, the better. So that way we can get it right the first time. So anytime we do make changes to the ordinance, we have to then codify it. We do the codification once a year, and that does cost the city money. So we would like to, you know, take some time, go through this, and, you know, be able to present it for the next, not this upcoming, because that we codify every February. That's what we're set up with with the Civics Plus, who does the Muni code, the website, all that. They're the ones who go through it. So we'd be looking to have it updated for, I guess, that codification in 2025 in February. If changes go ahead are made before then, it'll still be posted on the website. It just won't be the codification. Once it's done, then they send us like pretty pages to put into our actual ordinance book over there. But we're just looking for people to kind of help, a group of, you know, three folks to help us take a holistic look at the ordinance and policy and procedure and just make sure everything aligns to how the city is functioning now in 2023 versus 2004.
Thank you, Lisa. I think we'll run through the agenda for next week's meeting pretty quickly. We always start out with the roll call and the reading of the City of Gustavus Vision Statement, approval of the minutes, The election review committee meeting minutes are a carryover, and then we'll have the general meeting minutes from October 9th. There will be four committee staff reports, Gustavus Visitors Association quarterly report, the DRC quarterly report, the treasurer's report, and the city administrator's report. The consent agenda, right now we have one item, the certificate of records destruction. The number eight, if you're following on the draft agenda, was the endowment fund grant transfer introduction, which will be taken off the agenda because there were no applicants. And then the ordinance for public hearing, there'll be three non-code ordinances, the amendment of the city held accounts and FY24, the AMLIP reserve, and the capital current transfer. We discussed these when we introduced them last month. Does anyone want an update on them, or do they want to? Ben can remind us what they're about. Or shall we move on? I'm sorry, is that a yes?
Yes.
You would like a reminder? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, and.
So this was the one for supplementing some of the appropriations for some of the departments. Is that, am I?
You're talking about item number 11?
That is, I guess I should click on it.
And I think that's item number 11. You're referring to FY24-09 NCO capital current transfer.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, those were, so they were introduced on the 9th of October. And will be our schedule to be voted on next Monday. Now, if we can move on under new business, Ben has brought a resolution that he should probably come and explain to us, so it'll be on the general meeting.
Thank you, Shelley. This is pretty simple. Each year, in order to apply for the shared fisheries business tax program, you have to send along a resolution in favor of one of two options. And each year, the city of Gustavus has opted for the alternative allocation. So basically, all we do is just change the dates. And then send in the same form year after year. This year, I think it was $225 is the amount of money, that a little less than last year. But it's basically what it is they take all the money available, they cut it in half. Each community gets, divide the amount of money by the amount of communities, cut that in half. Everybody gets half, and then the other half is allocated based on the size of your community. And so that's what we're saying, that we support that, and we're going along with it. So that's what this resolution is.
And I'm not sure who would know the answer to this question, but is this something that can go on the consent agenda, or would it be on the new business agenda?
You know, I don't know. Mike might be able to answer that. It's something that's going to have to be read, because it's a resolution. So okay. I don't know if that...
We can... have something on the consent agenda and read the resolution, I think, if you want.
Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
The next item will be the number 12 award and RFQ FY24-04 for Salmon River Play Equipment Installation. Would that be Kathy or Mike that wants to address that?
Kathy?
Well, we did send out a letter of low bidder. We can say who that is, right?
Yeah, right.
So it was landscaping, Gustavus Landscaping. Yeah, sure. And they've been sent a letter of low bid, but we haven't sent the notice to proceed out yet. But we can't send the notice to proceed until we approve the award.
Well, we'll have to send out notice of the notice that we did on intent to award next. We've done the notice of apparent low bidder, which we do immediately after bidding, so that say other bidders could, if they wanted to object, for some reason to our selection of the low bidder for some reason. Say they said, oh, this guy doesn't really have a contractor's license or something like that, or is not qualified. They can do that. And at the time you send out the notice of intent, I mean, of apparent low bidder, you ask for any more submittals that are due with the bid that weren't included in the bid. But we had everything from Chuck Schroth that we needed, so we didn't have to ask him for anything else. So the next step is to put out a notice of intent to award, which could go out tomorrow or whenever, and that notice says that the council intends to award it, and it's subject to a council approval. And then after after it's awarded, then we can go ahead and issue a notice to proceed if as long as there are no further submittals that are due at that stage.
Okay, so as I understand it,
right, we award the contract per the bid received, and in this case, the bid for installation of the equipment and construction of the pad and installation of the equipment was $3,000 even. The low bid was.
Moving forward, we come up to city council reports. I had expressed an interest in reverting to a procedure that we had, I think before COVID, where city council members took an interest in a particular project and provided input during meetings. I mean, we've done that to some degree. I would like to formalize it a little more. Karen had a spreadsheet that she used and would check in with us at meetings. And so I've talked to Liesl, and I think this is something we're going to want to proceed with. So I'll be asking people what are their, to tell us, you know, what you're interested in, if there's something that you would like to work on, just to let us know. I guess on the number 13 here is the bike path update and the SS4A grant. Is Jim, are you available to talk about that? Would you like Kathy to talk about it?
Sure, I can talk about it at the meeting. It's not much, but yeah, we can update things. We're just in the waiting process right now.
A more detail.
Well, we're in the waiting process because they have come back to us and asked us to clarify some things, not the least of which is they seem to think we were just asking for planning for a corridor rather than the entire area. And evidently that wasn't clear to them, and the people that were helping as a bundle, helping all kinds of communities with these grants were helping us kind of re-wordsmith it to see, because they want us to have an area-wide comprehensive plan, not a corridor plan, and we are sort of disagreeing with them that that's what we submitted. So, I mean, they sent us other things saying this needs to be signed and this needs to be uploaded. It was curious to us why they waited this long to ask us for this more important piece of information, but nevertheless, they have, and they already have awarded some of these grants in the state. I'm hoping they will get our piece of it and agree with what we submitted, and still have a look at us being able to get awarded this. So we've different teams at the Department of Transportation look at different aspects of the grant. So it's not the same people looking at it all the time, because we're getting these like, can you send us this? Can you send us that? Can you send us this? You know, every other week. So anyway.
I suppose.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jim.
It's been kind of frustrating because we have this Agnew Beck as a consulting firm, and they're contracted to help communities like us. And everything we did with them looking over our shoulder. And, you know, we get the thumbs up, okay, submit this. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, we get a note saying that this isn't complete, or this is in the, you know, some data is in the wrong column or something like that. So we redo it with Agnew Beck looking over our shoulder. And then 3 weeks later, we get it back. I think we're on the fourth round there, but hopefully we haven't heard from them for a while. So I think that's good. And it also means that they didn't reject us outright, that we're still in the running, I think.
Thank you, Jim. And I just realized that after I get to the end here, I'm going to probably want to go back and see if anybody wants to give us a preview of their reports. In other words, that's probably you, Kathy. But the next item, number 14, was the beach wheelchair update. We found by trying to push the beach wheelchair that we received from sale around the city hall on our low nap carpet that it wasn't rolling very well and it didn't have footrests. So we've been talking about and sort of made a bit of a decision, and I'm welcome to hear any objections to it, to see if Sail Orca is their developmental program. And so I contacted, sent an email to Sail to see if they were, if we could return it to them. I just found out today, contacted Orca when I hadn't heard back from them. And the fellow just texted me and said, oh, she was a summer intern and she's not with, she's not there anymore. So I told him that our concerns are inability to use the chair and how we would like to return it to them or pass it back, you know, if there's someone else that may be able to use it. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. Are there any objections to us proceeding with this, returning it? Okay. And then there's the mayor's report, but before I launch into some of the things that have been going on in the last 3 weeks, I wonder, Kathy, did you want to talk about some of just a summary of some of the issues you've been working on?
Well, I can go into more detail at the meeting, but just a couple of things. Just today, we submitted a letter of support for participating in the states and their partners, which being AML, Alaska Municipal League. They're trying to get the Thriving Communities Regional Grant, which will help in the aggregate augment the capacity of the state to provide technical assistance and to small communities. So hopefully we can get some technical assistance for a lot of these infrastructure grants, or they can help us review projects for pre-development or matching funds. So we're not having to wade through this all ourselves. So they're talking about trying to get overall planning grants, they're trying to get technical assistance, and they're trying to get a grant through the state that they can help all these small and disadvantaged communities wade through the morass of red tape that is the infrastructure, you know, projects going on. So we submitted something for that. I don't know if and when they'll get it, but if they do, then we'll be included for help in that arena. So I'm looking forward to hopefully them getting something like that. I applied for the Alaska Municipal League scholarship through AMA attendance I got one last year, so I don't know if we'll get one this year, but if I do, it'll save us about $1,000. We continue to work on road maintenance issues. Liesl is learning that we have a lot of people complaining about things and they don't seem to understand the weather patterns and what it does to the roads. So we're consistently, you know, having to assuage people on that. Jim already talked about the application revisions. We got assisted in getting the Mariculture event scheduled, which I hope people will come to. I don't normally, you know, work with some of that stuff, but because it was an economic development opportunity, I felt like the city should help a little bit with it. And we continue to work with the chief and Dr. Vaught and everybody on aligning, you know, the EMS and fire department recruiting and improvements there. We also got a letter of support to get funding or some other projects. AML is trying to aggregate help from various federal departments. So it's not just DOT, it's also like things like cybersecurity and water and sewer and those type of things. So every time there's an opportunity for us to say, yeah, we're signing on to that, if we can get something like that, then we do that. And then Mike, you can update the playground thing, but our equipment's here.
Yep.
and also been working with Leah on the survey to businesses. She's just gonna question businesses on the absence or reduction of Alaska Airlines. Should that occur, she's trying to get a handle on some data for us in case we need it. If that happens, right now it's really in the hands of DOT and the state, but we will get contacted and we'll likely become involved at some point with it. So Leah's trying to get some data for that, and so we're working with her on that. And Souls and I we've been working also on the community wildfire planning grant information, which is another aggregated, one of three communities that they're helping to get this planning grant for wildfires for.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's just a few of the things we've been working on. I'll have a more comprehensive report for the meeting, but just in case anybody has questions.
Thank you. Did you want to speak, Mike?
I just had a question on another item that was on our agenda, if I may. we have ordinance FY24-07 NCO scheduled for public hearing this month. It was introduced last month, and this is the one that adjusts or makes some supplementary appropriations to the budget that we approved for the fiscal year last spring. And I just wanted to ask, did we get all the documentation we need from each of the departments to support this, to support all of the individual appropriations for those departments? And are we in a position where the administration is prepared to recommend passage of this NCO?
I don't know, Kathy, did you want to address this or should I? We have received some of the details from departments. We are waiting to get information from one of the departments that we requested in August and haven't received yet. We're hoping to be able to, possibly if we can receive it by next week, we can proceed. Otherwise, we may need to move it over to the December meeting if we don't have the information that we need to proceed.
Okay, that sounds good. I hope we can get it all together so we can, you know, put this to bed. So I hope any remaining departments will get whatever documentation is needed to support their request.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess I wanted to follow up on the Gustavus Mariculture Meetup. That's November 15th, 6 p.m. at the Community Center. They're going to have snacks. And then Senator Jesse Keel and Representative Andy Story have a town hall this Thursday, 5 to 7 at the library. And they'll be holding office hours on Friday, November 10th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Fireweed. I had my mayor's report. I can see how these things get to be lengthy. So I guess my first 3 weeks, I started logging in projects and grants and contracts, and I'm up to about 3 pages now. You know, sort of I can get real obsessive with this kind of stuff. So I've been catching up on things. There, I wanted to point out, I guess what I feel strongly about is the practice of active outreach by council to the community and transparency about what we do with the community. There, I would love to be able to provide information to people and encourage them to listen to us either on Zoom or it's a little difficult without a local newspaper or radio program. Or so I think of ways that how can we let people know what we're working on and what we're doing without incurring an additional burden on staff. But so it's something, and I appreciate Rachel taking an interest in this as well. I would quote Resolution CY 1917, which the council passed on August 12th, 2019, that the council members shall actively solicit public input, particularly on controversial issues, the wise use of social and print media, regular town halls, informal opinion polls collected in various public location surveys, and special elections where needed, along with other mechanisms deemed appropriate by council members to accomplish this goal. I'd like to start asking people how can we work on this? I'm community members collegially. How can we, I know waiting, a month to get meeting, the minutes of the meetings may be something we can work on. But anyway, we'll come up with some ideas on that. And I want to appreciate, to tell Rachel that I appreciate her bringing this to the forefront too. So let's see, what all have I been doing? We've been dealing with a couple of issues. And Mayor Taylor's outgoing report, he told us about TSA's requirement that we provide law enforcement at the airport. That is something that we're still waiting to hear from DOT, and we're also trying to do what we can to assess what the fiscal impact will be on the tourism industry in the city. Another issue is the disputed public access on the spur road leading to the Falls Creek Hydro. We're still looking into this. I hope that we're going to be getting additional information this coming week, and I'll provide a background summary next week. Let's see. There's correspondence that we've received from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, and APT about the licensing requirements. I've indexed our correspondence and will provide a summary, a monthly summary of what is of particular interest to people, as well as emails and phone calls that, and I'd like other council members, if they could speak up about what are people talking about, what do they want us to talk about. And so yes, I've received phone calls about the hydro access, and APNT has encouraged people to report incidents of harassment or obstruction of public access to them. If you do so, please provide us with a copy of the communication. Other communication I wanted to take some time with that we received was regard to the city's timing and moving the dock floats. And I want to thank Ben, Larry Elm, and Chris Hart from Western Marine for relocating the steel float up the Salmon River for the winter. Chris brought his own boat over from Juneau and refused payment for his assistance, but will be doing the needed repairs to the steel float. Yeah, so the wooden float and skiff floats were also moved to the boat harbor. I've got photographs of all of these floats, and the parking was great. I couldn't believe that the way they managed to get those things moved. We did receive an email from a citizen who was concerned about the timing on short notice when he had hoped to use them for hunting. We understand and regret he wasn't given more advance notice, but Ben had one day's notice when the floats would be moved. City doesn't have the equipment to move the floats itself and must rely on outside contractors to move them. We welcome any suggestions from some of these fairly experienced and sophisticated boat owners that may have ideas about how we can do this in the future. The citizen made a very compelling argument of having a float in place in the event of a natural disaster. But when the city tried leaving the steel float in place 2 winters ago, storm damage broke the collars surrounding the pilings. And I would ask Ben to correct me if I misunderstood that. Without a breakwater, it just isn't safe to leave the floats in place. And this is the time of year when we move the floats, and any delay exposes the moving crew to the onset of fall storms, limited daylight, snow, and freezing spray. So I had mentioned that I'd like to encourage council members to tell us about your areas of interest and what you're working on. And my particular interests are in sort of locating and reviewing our plans and policies and procedures. I'd like to, in particular, to see a master plan for area-wide area-wide road maintenance for ditching and culvert installation. I kind of feel that we respond really well to emergencies and remediation, but I'd like to see some future planning so that we can avoid more flooding events like the one that damaged my neighbors and my property on the Wilson Road flooding. So I'd like to work on the Wilson Road ditching and culvert capital project in anticipation of more flooding in the area in the future. And at this point, I guess I'd like to ask, since this, I think, will be the time in the future that we will be soliciting the reports, project reports from council members. So would either of you talk about what you are interested in and would like to? And this is Rachel, we'll be speaking.
I'm interested in helping spearhead a plan for more community involvement and communication. What that would look like right now, I have no idea because I'm still learning everything. Mm-hmm. So I am passionate about that, and I am interested in leading that venture.
I'm gonna have to think about that. I need to just focus on keeping my head above water for the moment.
I know. It's just that if there's anything that you have a particular interest in, I'm not necessarily requiring you to talk about what your project implementation, just what is of interest to you. And Mr. Mike?
Well, I'm interested in seeing through some of the, you know, or helping to see through some of the road projects and mm-hmm. support you on your goals on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to work with John Berry, as Kathy suggested, to start out with on the same old road project where we need to improve ditching along that and install a bunch of culverts. And we've got culverts in stock that we bought for that. Mm-hmm. And then also deal with the, you know, find some way to get Glenn's ditch cleaned mm-hmm. and maybe replace a couple of culverts along that. The one on the section line that leads to Kimber's place and the one down at Mossy's that are undersized. But the main thing is to get the brush out of that so that all the work that we've done upstream isn't just blocked by the brush in that ditch so that it's backing up, you know, onto Wilson Road or something. Mm-hmm. So projects like that, I'm happy to work with as you may assign me. So
you may regret.
I guess that's, and of course, I want to get the playground equipment done. And so I'm happy to help on those things.
Okay, thank you. And Jim, is there anything that you would like to speak to while we have you online?
Let things go like they do here. I'm sure Jesse Keel and Andy Story will have some insights that we can maybe share at the meeting there.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things I forgot to add, so we had originally tried to get some funding through the Healthy Communities to go towards the playground equipment, and as I've explained before, there was a snafu in the governor's office. But Jason Custer from AP&T was involved with the CrossIt Foundation when he was in Ketchikan, and he suggested that their mission is to provide opportunities for youth in Southeast Alaska. So when we weren't getting the funding from the Healthy Communities because of whatever happened, we just recently submitted and Mike wrote it and Jason helped add some things because he knew the committee enough to know what they wanted to hear, and he helped edit it a little bit, and we just submitted that yesterday with the hopes of getting offsetting some of those costs of that playground equipment. We won't know till December, but it, you know, if we can get $15,000 or $20,000 from them, then that's good news.
Thank you, Kathy. Does anybody else have any business that they'd like to talk about?
One that suggests, as I understand, we're working on having a council training session here from the DCCED rep in November. You have an update on that? Or?
Yeah, so we did reach out to our legislative specialist who works out of the Juneau office. His dates have changed. He's been pulled to do some other things. So those November dates that he gave us are no longer available. So we are now, let me pull it up. I believe we're looking at the last two Wednesdays and Thursdays in January. So I believe we're looking at Wednesday the 24th and Thursday the 25th, or the 31st into February 1st, that he would be coming out and then providing training for our elected officials. I have received several of your availabilities. Unfortunately, with his changes, that kind of puts a wrench into the works. But I also have received a lot of the topics you guys are interested in. And so I appreciate that, because he's going to try to tailor it to what our city needs and what our city officials would like to learn about.
And we'll just have come back from AML, where we have, I guess, the new leaders' introduction to these issues. So we might be able to even fine tune it better when we come back.
Yeah. So I'll be sending the council members another email asking for the best set of dates out of those two options. The sooner you can get to me, the better, because it seems like his schedule is filling rapidly.
Okay. And speaking of which, I guess you need what is your deadline for items for next Monday's meeting?
Tomorrow by 10:30.
Okay.
On the training, I think that training is really quite important, even for those of us who've been through it several times, as I have. And it's important for as many council members as possible to participate in it in the room here, because it gives us a chance to come to a more shared understanding of how we operate and what the basic rules are. It'll be somewhat repetitive of what you'll get at the AML, for those of you who go to that, but if we can make it more specific to our city. And if we're sitting around the table here and discussing what our functions are, you know, what our city's about and how we operate, and so that we can all get on the same sheet of music, I think that's pretty helpful. So I would encourage everybody who can possibly be here to participate in person in the room.
All right. Okay, well, not having any business, shall we adjourn at about 7:04?